In 1971, William Peter Blatty unleashed a cultural earthquake that would forever change horror literature. The story begins with an elderly archaeologist in Iraq, haunted by premonitions after discovering an amulet depicting the demon Pazuzu. Meanwhile, in Georgetown, successful actress Chris McNeil lives with her 12-year-old daughter Regan in comfortable domesticity. Their normal life includes Chris filming on location, Regan celebrating her birthday, and casual conversations about faith, despite Chris's atheism. But something malevolent lurks at the edges of this ordinary existence. When Regan complains her bed is shaking, it seems like a minor disturbance. Yet this small tremor heralds the arrival of a force that will shatter their world. What makes this tale so terrifying isn't just its supernatural elements, but how methodically it dismantles our sense of safety. The invasion begins not with dramatic manifestations, but with subtle irregularities, strange noises, mood changes, furniture that moves in the night. Have you ever felt that something in your home wasn't quite right? That inexplicable moment when the familiar suddenly feels foreign? This is where true horror resides, not in distant haunted houses, but in the violation of our most intimate spaces. The genius of this narrative lies in how it transforms the ordinary into something monstrous, making us question the boundaries between natural and supernatural in our own lives. As spring arrives in Georgetown, young Regan experiences an alarming personality shift. The once gentle preteen begins displaying uncharacteristic behaviors, becoming confrontational, using inappropriate language, and reporting sensory experiences others cannot verify. Medical professionals initially suggest a behavioral condition, later investigating potential neurological causes like temporal lobe epilepsy as symptoms intensify. During a formal dinner hosted by her mother, Chris, Regan exhibits concerning behaviors, including a loss of basic functions and making an unsettling prediction to a guest in an altered voice. Later, Chris observes unexplainable physical phenomenon in Regan's room that cannot be attributed to psychological factors. Despite comprehensive medical evaluation, including neurological tests, brain imaging, and spinal fluid analysis, all results show no abnormalities. The entity manifesting through Regan identifies itself through wordplay as Na Wan Mai, expressing hostility toward the child. As conventional medical explanations prove inadequate, Chris witnesses increasingly inexplicable events, Regan displaying impossible physical movements, extreme contortions, and engaging in disturbing behaviors while speaking in an altered voice. This case study illustrates a profound psychological horror, the fear of losing one's identity and autonomy to an unknown force. The transformation raises complex questions about consciousness, identity, and the boundaries between medical and unexplainable phenomenon. Jesuit priest and psychiatrist Damien Karas wanders through Washington, D.C. in spiritual crisis. Once devoted, he now questions God's silence amid suffering, tasting only the papery taste of despair when consuming the host. Karas's doubt stems from multiple sources: guilt over his mother's decline in a squalid Manhattan apartment, psychiatric training that rationalizes once divine phenomena, and seemingly unanswered prayers. He embodies the modern religious dilemma, maintaining faith while wrestling with doubt in an increasingly secular world. This spiritual darkness makes Karas paradoxically ideal for the challenge ahead. When Chris McNeil approaches him about an exorcism, she finds a priest embodying the tension between faith and skepticism. His initial assessment of Regan applies scientific methodology, testing for genuine possession through unknown languages, clairvoyance, and supernatural strength. Haven't we all questioned if our deepest beliefs still hold meaning? Karas's journey resonates because it acknowledges faith's difficulty in a contradictory world, a search for meaning that will lead him to profound sacrifice. As Regan's condition worsens, medical science reaches its explanatory limits. doctors diagnose somnambuliform possession, a psychiatric disorder where patients believe they're invaded by alien intelligences. Yet this framework proves inadequate against increasingly inexplicable phenomena. Detective Kinderman discovers Burke Denning's head was turned completely around, requiring superhuman strength and matching Regan's impossible contortions. Paint from her sculpture, matching church desecrations, establishes connections to sacrilegious acts throughout Georgetown. Medical explanation collapses when Karis witnesses words appearing on Regan's chest in raised blood-red script, "Help me," in her own handwriting. This manifestation, along with her speaking unknown languages and possessing impossible knowledge, erodes Karis's skepticism. The narrative challenges our modern certainty that science explains everything. It doesn't reject science, but shows its limitations when confronted with phenomena that transcend materialist assumptions. What's unsettling is how it forces us to consider that our comfortable frameworks might be incomplete maps of reality. The decision to perform an exorcism shifts the narrative from medical drama to spiritual confrontation. The bishop assigns Father Merrin, the archaeologist from the prologue, as lead exorcist, with Karis assisting. Merrin's previous African exorcism lasted for months and damn near killed him, establishing the ritual's dangers. The exorcism becomes the novel's climactic battle between good and evil, faith and doubt. The demon attacks both priests, mocking Karis's doubts and his mother's death while physically assaulting Merrin. It displays impossible knowledge, speaking languages Regan never learned and revealing unknowable secrets. When Merrin dies during the ritual, Karis challenges the demon directly. "Come on, loser, try me, leave the girl and take me." The demon transfers to Karis, who hurls himself through Regan's window to his death, destroying the demon through self-sacrifice. This ritual raises profound questions. Is evil merely psychological dysfunction, or does it exist independently? The exorcism suggests some battles require weapons beyond science. They demand faith, courage, and sacrifice. The novel climaxes when Karis makes a Christ-like sacrifice, offering himself to save Regan. This transforms the narrative from horror to redemptive tragedy. By allowing the demon to transfer to him before committing suicide, Karis destroys the evil's vessel while demonstrating how sacrificial love conquers darkness. As he dies, Father Dyer administers last rites, and a tear rolls down Karis's cheek as peace fills his eyes, representing his restored faith and the divine connection he had sought throughout his crisis. When Chris prepares to leave with a recovered Regan, she admits believing in the devil but questioning God. Dyer responds, "If all the evil makes you think there might be a devil, then how do you account for all the good?" This encapsulates the novel's theological core. Evil's existence, paradoxically, suggests good's reality too. Karis's sacrifice resonates because it shows our humanity is most fully expressed in what we surrender for others. The Exorcist transcends conventional horror by confronting profound questions about evil, faith, and redemption, challenging purely materialist worldviews. The novel concludes with Detective Kinderman and Father Dyer beginning a friendship, walking arm in arm, as Kinderman quotes from Casablanca. This suggests healing after trauma, as secular authority and spiritual faith find common ground. The narrative's enduring impact stems from refusing easy answers. It neither dismisses supernatural explanations nor presents faith as untroubled, creating a space where scientific, psychiatric, and religious frameworks all attempt to comprehend the incomprehensible. In life, we face moments when our explanatory systems fail, when suffering defies understanding. The challenge isn't finding perfect answers, but developing courage to face these mysteries with integrity. The story resonates because it reminds us that in our darkest moments, what matters most isn't understanding evil, but choosing love, even at tremendous cost.